Unlock more to life with Adrian Pinozzo, Real Estate Investing Podcast, where we broadcast interviews with successful real estate across North America to empower you on your journey to unlocking more to life with real estate investing. Now here's your host, Adrian Pinozzo.
All right, we are live for episode number 3 of the More to Life Real Estate Investing Network podcast. And I have a super special guest. For our third episode, we have here with us someone who I really, really resonate with. I really love what he's done in the real estate investment world. And he is a 911 advocate and a full-time police officer. We've come pretty much from the same background, obviously me being a police officer for the past 21 years. And we share a very similar mission to help our community experience the true financial freedom that we can get from building generational wealth by investing in real estate. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure and honor to introduce you to our third guest, Mr. David Knight from the First Responders Wealth Network. How you doing, Dave?
Hey, man. Thanks, Adrian. I'm excited to be on. Got your own show, and I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, awesome. So, Dave, we've known each other for probably the better part of, what, 5 years?
Yeah, about 5 years or so. We connected. You know, you helped me get my first property in Hamilton, actually. So, but yeah, same background, kind of resonated with each other, hit it off, and still good friends to this day. And
yeah,
man,
definitely closer over the years.
Yeah, a couple of beers here and there, and that's what'll happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I remember that call about 5 years ago that you just came out of the blue, and you know, I guess my previous career, your full-time career now still kind of connected us. And we had that connection way back when you were starting to look at Hamilton as a place to invest. So definitely lots to talk about today, given where you started, where you've gone to and done so much in the past 5 years. So if you're good, why don't we get right into it?
Yeah, let's roll.
All right. So I remember 5 years ago, I actually was interviewed on your podcast when you started off. How many years ago now?
Oh, I think I've had my podcast for almost 3 years now. So it's been, it's crazy. Time flies, but yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So I've seen you grow your portfolio, Dave, obviously, since we first connected. And it's amazing how you've expanded it while working. And here's the thing. A full-time job, right? And
yeah,
we'll get into how you manage, you know, a full-time police career and almost a full-time real estate investing career and your podcast, so on and so forth. So let me ask you, let's just get right to the point. How do you manage almost two full-time careers on the go at once? How do you segue that?
Well, first off, I have a real desire to get to a certain point. So, you know, I'm on a real mission to get to a certain level that I don't feel I'm at now. And it's encouraging, it's motivating, and I feel like there's a real purpose behind it. So that's what drives me to even do it. Cause I am doing a lot, 100%. There's, you know, a lot of people at work think I'm crazy, but you know, there's a purpose behind it. How I do it.
How many years ago do you figure?
Yeah. So I'll give you kind of the whole background just to kind of summarize. So when I was in college and university, I always did painting, residential painting on the side. So I was able to save some money and I worked a lot. I've always just kind of worked. I've been just that type of guy. And so towards the end of university, about 2009, I was able to get a down payment on a new build. So that was a townhouse, Brainhaven build in Burlington. By the time that was getting ready to close, I was able to close on it, but my cash flow wasn't good. I was barely able to, you know, probably pay the bills. I had no furniture. So I decided to live at home for another couple of years and rent it out. So right from the get-go, I kind of started out as a, you know, quote unquote landlord, I guess, without knowing anything about, you know, real estate and obviously what I know now. So I rented out, I moved in. Over time, I had friends come in and rent out the room, and I was house hacking a bit just to kind of continually help. And, you know, there's a lot more detail behind all that stuff. But basically, over time, the appreciation of the property increased, and I learned and evolved that I could tap into that equity to purchase another property. And that just blew my mind, because I felt like I could barely afford my own house at the time, let alone buy another one. Right. So I think just that evolution of slowly learning and growing and accumulating multiple properties, that's kind of how it started. And then, you know, dedicating myself into the education side of things and really learning and evolving that way is really when things started opening up opportunities, but also my mindset of what's available and what's possible.
Okay. Awesome. So end of the day, you refinanced one property and kept the ball rolling with respect to that home equity line of credit.
Yes.
So very similar with my story. Like I mentioned when in episode number one, when we started, you know, we didn't have any money in the bank either, but we did have equity in our principal residence and we leveraged that. So yeah, very similar to my story as well.
Yeah. And you know, what you're doing and now what I'm doing, although a lot of people are doing obviously the Burr strategy, even though I'm flipping stuff, it's the same tactic of just learning how you can force that appreciation versus waiting for your house or your property to naturally appreciate over time. So right. I think that was a game changer, just learning how to do that. That really changed a lot of things to speed up the process.
For sure.
Yeah.
So let me ask you straight out, what made you want to do this? What made you want to start growing a massive portfolio? And it was it just for yourself, or were you thinking of the 911 community, that, you know, your colleagues, or what made you want to start in the first place?
So I don't think when I first realized the opportunity that was available through real estate was just seeing what other people have already done, you know, seeing people grow large portfolios, passive cash flow, active income, you know, financial freedom, quote unquote, whatever the way you want to, you know, define that. It's different for everybody. But for me, it was the ability to see people living on their own terms, you know, being able to do what they want when they want, not have to work shift work, not have to work overnights, not have to answer to anyone, pick your own vacation time. I don't have to pick against 20 other people. And, you know, I can do what I want when I want. And that's what really drove me at the beginning. And it really wasn't, like I said, the 911 Wealth Network wasn't really there in my mind at that point. It was just being motivated by the idea that I can achieve a lot more than what I'm doing now, and not having to stay in the constant grind of shift work, and which I'm still doing, by the way. But that's the next one. What do you mean, Dave? You're still doing that?
Yeah.
But the exit is there, right? So, but just the point that there is more opportunity if you're willing to go and learn a new skill, essentially, and go execute on that new skill. So, I guess that's what started it for me. It was just the opportunity that was there to have that financial freedom, and that's the driving force. Mm-hmm. And then as that evolved, that's kind of when the 911 Wealth Network evolved as well, where I started the podcast, like we mentioned earlier. And that was essentially just, I just wanted to connect with more people. I wanted to just share the information. It was just a strict, you know, hobby for me for a couple of years, to be honest. And, you know, I learned so much by interviewing people, connecting with different people around US and Canada, doing different areas of real estate that I had never been exposed to. Like, I can't have that type of conversation with people in my workplace. You know, right. some people are investing, but I want to talk to people at high levels. You know, I want to learn from people who are 10 years ahead of where I want to be, not people who, you know, have a rental property or two. You know, that's, right. And I think that's what, you know, evolved me, but then also helped me give back to my own community. And then I kind of created a new purpose and fire under my ass of just really wanting to share this, because I'm so passionate about it. Not everyone is, but at least I can share the information. So if you resonate with that, you know, join the community, or, you know, get learning, or talk to someone who's doing it, listen to podcasts like this. And hopefully it just starts your journey in a new direction that maybe you were never exposed to.
Absolutely. You're starting, And I like that story where you say, you know, I didn't even have furniture in the house and so on and so forth. But really, really starting right from the bottom. Everybody listening, every novice investor that may listen to this episode probably has reservations to get started. So let's put it right out there. Were you scared
when you Absolutely.
First started and you bought your first one or your second one? Were you scared? What were some of your fears, if you had any?
You know, being uncomfortable, I've learned to enjoy the feeling of being uncomfortable, because if you're comfortable, that means you're not growing, right? And I didn't even realize that was a thing when I first started. So to go back then, was I scared? Absolutely. I was freaked out. I had always been told that real estate was a good investment. You know, growing up, real estate is, you know, time has proven and shown how great real estate can be to many people. And most amount of millionaires are, you know, done through real estate, they say. So was I scared? Absolutely. But I think it slowly evolved into learning the process and then becoming more confident and tactful and intentional with everything that you're doing, and relying on the experience now after X amount of years, but also continuing to learn and evolve through people to help you along the way. So, but was I scared at the beginning? Oh, hell yeah. I mean, that's a lot of money, man. You know how much, you know, we get much a year, you know, in take home pay, and you want me to put that or double that on a down payment, or essentially borrow multiple times that from other people now to do an investment. I mean, that's a lot of responsibility, but that's why there's systems and procedures in place, as you know, that you learn about. And so you get a little bit more comfortable without being complacent.
And I think it's important to put it out there because, you know, I personally talk to so many novice investors who are looking to get involved in a BRRRR project or just real estate investing in general. And that one major objection that always comes up is, I just, you know, I'm really nervous. I'm really scared. I'm pulling the trigger and this and that. And it's important to hear that everybody's nervous and scared to pull the trigger on their first one. But correct me if I'm wrong, fast forward years down the road now, you're probably buying properties like it's, you know, for lack of a better expression, like buying chocolate bars, right? Like that, correct me if I'm wrong, that gut nervous feeling is no longer the way it used to be, right? You've grown into that comfort zone now. Is that accurate?
Totally. I think at the very beginning, it was a very emotional process, you know, and I think as any investor would probably say the same thing, as you start getting more experience and buying more properties and, you know, the transactions happen more and more, you almost eliminate the emotional side of things and just look at the analytical side of things. And if that's your driving force, then it becomes a lot more, you know, easier. And like you say, you know, it's a good example of like chocolate bars. It's, you know, you're not going to probably try new things every single time. You're going to get used to what you like, what you know, what you're familiar with. You start to see the same thing occurring, the opportunities there, and you buy similar projects. You know, like I've seen what you've been doing, you've been crushing it. And I would suggest that you're looking for a very similar style or similar opportunities. You're not trying this strategy and then this strategy. You find what you like and you stick with it, right? Rinse and repeat.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
But yeah. I try and stay away from the chocolate bars there, Adrian. So maybe protein bars now.
Just the protein bars. Yeah, sure.
I try. Yeah.
Share with us your portfolio. Where are you now with your portfolio? How many doors do you have? I know you're doing stuff in the US as well as Canada. Tell us about your portfolio.
So I sold off a few of my properties a couple of years ago. And I've been continuing to flip properties because of what my goal and exit strategy is with what I'm doing. You know, I don't want to say too much here in case my employer is watching, but, you know, at the end of the day, I said, I'm very transparent of my goal is financial freedom. And I don't think anyone can take that away or knock anyone for having that as a goal. So my purpose is to grow my pot to a certain level where I can live off passive income versus the active side of things. So in order to fast track that at this stage, and I've evolved a lot in the last, I would say 15 months, but it's flipping properties and that sort of thing. So to answer your question, right now I have my primary residence and I have a student rental in Welland still. I also have five other projects on the go right now that are currently active, 2 single family flips and 3 multifamily conversions. So that's my portfolio. And then in addition to that, I invest passively in the US on some projects. I also do some lending, and then I also invest in, you know, other little things. But essentially, for my passive stuff is in the US that you talked about. That's passively as an LP in an apartment. So that was my first exposure to the US. Moving forward, definitely learning and looking at more active stuff on my end in the US. I was just down in Phoenix about a month ago or so, where we ended up doing the trip and I ended up getting engaged there, you saw. So I'm learning the market. Yeah. I'm learning the market. And eventually that's going to be my next move.
Awesome. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So in your career, you've done several flips. You got 5 projects on the go right now. So 5 plus. How many homes do you think you flipped in the last, well, since you started investing in real estate?
Not 5
on the go.
Right. Yeah, to be honest, Adrian, this is all kind of ramped up in the last, I would say, 15 months. You know, right. I was always doing 1 or 2 a year. Or sorry, I would only have about 1 project on the go for the last couple of years, and then now I have 5. So it's a slow evolution of, like, I'm not a full-time investor like you, obviously, right? So this is all my passive stuff, and again, just learning, growing. And now with experience, I have my power team. I have a solid team behind me that I can rely on. I have my education behind me. And now I have some experience where you eventually get that confidence level of, okay, I can do this. You know, there's nothing holding me back other than myself. So as soon as you get to that point, you have to make a decision. You know, you say, okay, am I going to continue down this road, or am I going to continue down this road and really ramp things up? And that's the road I decided to go down, which is why I'm at where I'm at, like I said, in the last maybe couple of years versus continuing down the path of working and just doing a project a year for the next 25 years or building my portfolio for the long term. So I'm not sure if I answered your question.
Okay. I'll sum it up. So Dave, you said something that was kind of cool. You said, you know, I don't do this full time like you do, but I want to qualify that. Yes, you got a lot on the go, given the fact that you have a power team, but you don't have like an assistant and you don't have all these other things. And what's most important, and I keep coming back to this, is, you know, you work full time and, you know, above and beyond that, you run a very popular podcast. Above and beyond that, you have 5 flips, if you even want to call them that, 5 flips on the go. Above and beyond that, obviously, you're engaged to be married now. You have responsibilities with that and obviously taking care of, you know, your personal home and all that. For one guy, just to manage all of that, obviously, you must have a very regimented schedule and use your time wisely, given you're probably not sitting at home watching TV, you know, 24/7, so to speak. You got a lot on the go. And I commend you for having all that on the go, all the while being a full-time police officer. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, in my opinion. You obviously have a very strong work ethic. And, you know, I would take pride in that, as opposed to the people that'll say, well, you know, where am I going to find the time to be an investor? Mm-hmm. I have a full-time job and children and this and that. And like you said, you know, you're living life, or your goal is to live life completely on your terms. Mm. That's amazing, in my opinion. So congratulations on that, for sure.
Thanks. It's about having an understanding fiance who also is on the same page as you, very supportive, and has the same mission as you. We're both first responders. She's a paramedic, you know, I'm a police officer. So we get the day to day, and we don't, There's nothing wrong with whatever route you want to go, but we both have this very similar mission of being at a certain point in our life that we're financially free sooner. So we're willing to work towards that. And I mean, I'm not doing anything special. There's a lot of people doing the same thing. It's just, it's having that, I guess, that drive that you're willing to just do a little bit more. And the hardest part is at the beginning. And I'm sure you'd agree with this too, Adrian. Like, you know, the learning process never ends, but that first couple of years of really getting your feet wet and getting a few projects under your belt is really the hardest part. And then after that, you know, become more comfortable, and then the opportunity, the door is just kind of open.
Yeah.
And it's a lot to juggle, but we're, you know, there's a purpose behind it.
You're growing, yeah, for sure. Like you said,
yeah, absolutely.
Like a complete turnaround within the last, you know, let's just round it off to 2 years at mm-hmm. the volume you're looking at now, which is incredible in my opinion. All right. Awesome. So let's get into your podcast. A lot of respect for the podcast. Obviously, First Responders Wealth Network. It's amazing. And I think, well, why don't you tell us, what was your why when you started that podcast? And who do you try to help out or target within that podcast?
Mm-hmm. So first off, my podcast is First Responders Wealth Network. And we've been going for about 3 years now. What was my why? I just, like I said, I have a passion, not so much about the real estate, which I love the real estate, but it's the passion behind the opportunity that it brings. And I know what it had done in my life, even 3 years ago, not even compared to now, of what it's provided me and seeing what it's done to other people. And this type of conversation was never, you know, we don't talk about finances, as you know, at work. Like, no one talks about anything. Everyone, you know, you even ask about the pension and everyone, no one really has any idea what's going on there. They just get your annualized returns and you hear stuff in the news and whatever, right? But no one pays attention to that. So it's really not in our like ecosystem of the workplace. So just realizing that no one was really out there sharing the information, I said, hey, why don't I, you know, communicate this with my own community while I can learn and grow at the same time. And people who resonate with that can come join me on this journey of financial freedom. Right. And essentially that was where it started. And then getting the feedback of people who have the same interests as me, I mean, that's amazing. So starting to grow that community now. I have a Facebook group I actually just started. So if you're a first responder and you want to dive into that, just First Responders Wealth Network. And it's great to connect with people who understand the job, you know, and first responders in Canada and the US. So it's fire, police, paramedics, all that stuff. Not a lot of people can resonate and understand that. So that type of world who wants to level up and learn, that's kind of what I'm here for. And it's not just me. And that's the one thing that I try and preach too is, you know, I know what I know and I know what I've done and I've learned a lot. I've paid a lot in education, but at the same time, nothing trumps experience and a track record, right? So I bring those people to the community to help share that information. So it's not just me.
Awesome. Yeah. Can you share, and I'm sure you must have several, but mm-hmm. can you share a recent or historical story of a first responder you've helped get started in real estate investing, either, you know, somebody that listened to your podcast, somebody from work, or somebody that just reached out to you through one of your avenues that you've helped get involved in the game?
I mean, there's a few that I could, you know, jump off the top of my head, but
you don't need to know names or anything like that.
No, of course. I think, first off, just getting messages back on a most simple level of just, hey man, I listened to your podcast. You know, I opted into your online boot camp, your training, and it completely changed my perspective. I was not aware of that. I don't talk about this at home, and I'm now on a different trajectory. Like, those type of messages come to me all the time, and it blows me away, and that's what fires me up. I'm like, yes, okay, this is actually, you know, this is worth it. And that's what kind of gets me going. But a specific example, you know, some people, so I just started, this is my second round of coaching. So I have some students now, my second class now, and the people who have gone through are on different levels. Usually who I cater to is people who are just starting out. Okay.
Right.
There's obviously different levels to this game. And my goal here is to get you started on a good path, get your foundations, get your first property or two and roll, you know, and build on that experience if you choose to. So one example would be, there's a couple that actually had quite a bit of debt and they had to consolidate some of that debt. It was a process that I was not even familiar with, but I helped walk them through. This is one-on-one coaching now. Mm-hmm. And they were able to consolidate that, get their credit in a better position, get some private capital, some B lending, and they closed on their first rental property and now they're looking for their second. So that never would have happen in their world, you know, if they didn't seek help. And I'm not saying I'm like a miracle worker. It's just getting people to assist you, you know? Yeah. So there's that. And there's a lot of people just getting their first properties and getting messages saying, man, this changed my life. And my wife and I are super excited to move forward. And it's one of those delayed gratification things that sometimes aren't instant, but people who get it realize that it's a long-term gain. So it's putting people on the right path, and there's a number of them, but that's one real proud one that I really like.
Amazing. Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. Obviously, you know, being in that space as well, we get a lot of calls and joint ventures that, you know, our company gets involved in, and really helping these people get their first property and get started through the power of real estate investing, whether it's, you know, you offer obviously something else that we forgot to mention at the start, but you obviously have a boot camp, and, you know, now you're into coaching and getting people started, which is, again, amazing given the fact you have all this stuff on the go. And on top of that, you know, as if you're not busy enough with everything else and your five flips you have on the go, you also do, you know, coaching, one-on-one coaching and getting people started, which is, again, incredible. Awesome. And you know what, Dave, at the end of the day, I was on the job, a police officer for 21 years. And, you know, I know the mentality of police officers, and, you know, a lot of them are stuck in their ways and they're very stubborn, and, you know, giving them the ability like yourself to see you and what you've done, and you're still on the job. I have a lot of respect for them, and obviously respect for you, giving them, opening that door. Mm-hmm. Is what I'm trying to get at, opening that door for them to get started and create wealth. And, you know, not everybody has to leave policing early like myself, but even if it's just creating a bit of wealth down the road for your children, you know, by having one or two income properties and you helping them to facilitate that is amazing in itself. So awesome work, pal, like really awesome. I want to talk a little bit about, and obviously you don't have children yet, but you got tons on the go. I want to talk a little bit about your work-life balance, you know, given you have the police, you have five flips on the go, you do one-on-one coaching, boot camp, you run your own podcast, and there's probably other things you do that take up your time. I know you spend a lot of time at the cottage in the winter, in the summer. You go up there in the winter too?
Once in a while, yeah. It's a four season deal. So, once in a while,
a lot of time on social, well, I follow you on social media, so I see a lot of time you're there in the summer, which is nice to get away, obviously, given how busy you are, but work-life balance, despite all the success you've had in real estate investing thus far, let me ask you a question. Maybe you don't want to get into this given your employer may be watching, but that's cool if you don't want to. Why haven't you made the full 100% shift from the police department to full-time real estate investing, kind of following maybe what I've done, leaving the police and going over? Is it just it's in the works, or it's just premature right now? How do you feel about that?
I'm scared to answer that.
You know what? Let's forget
no,
about
no,
it.
No. It's fine.
Obviously,
it's fine.
Everything you got on the go, it's, if I can read in between the lines, it's probably in the works.
Yeah.
Whenever that day may come, it'll come.
Yeah. I just think I feel like I want to be, for whatever reason, you're always going to be, you know, a little bit shy pulling the plug, you know, in any situation. I'm sure you were there too, absolutely, no matter what level you're at. But I want to be at a conservative level. So when I do decide to leave, I'm not leaving a job for a job, right? I want to leave a job for financial freedom, essentially. So my goal, and I think I mentioned it earlier, is just I want to be at a certain level where my passive income surpasses my active income. So right, as soon as I can do that, you know, then I can really devote my time to not only building my company or First Responders Wealth Network, I really feel I can give a lot more value and help more people doing, focusing on that versus trying to juggle both, which I feel like I'm doing a little bit of that now, but on a whole nother level. So it is in the works. You know, I'm very open. I do not want to work 25, 30 years. And there's nothing wrong, again, with people who want to. It's just that I have a little bit more of that entrepreneurial side of me. You know, I used to own a painting business before and being my own boss, I've had a taste of that. I've had some employees, you know, it's just, it's in the works. I'm just want to be at a certain point before I pull the trigger completely. And like I said, man, like I feel like I've really evolved in the last couple years where I was 3 years ago, even where I started the podcast, right? Yeah, so
for sure.
I don't know. I'm a little gun shy, but it will happen eventually.
I remember, Dave, you know, thinking back to when I finally pulled the trigger and left the police department. I thought about it before I actually did it for maybe 2.5 years. Where, really? You know, even my wife and I would discuss it, and, you know, she was pushing me actually to leave because I was burnt out, you know. But anyhow, yeah, 2.5 years of, okay, I'm going to do it next month. Okay, next month. Okay, next month. 2.5 years of contemplating. And I don't regret staying as long as I did because it was a career that I loved. And, you know, I was actually pretty good at it. But yeah, it was about 2.5 years of yes, no, yes, no. But you're going to know when it's the right time. And I can't stress that enough because I knew when it went 2.5 years later, when I finally did it, it was like, yeah, I'm 100% ready now. Let's go.
Yeah.
And you'll know that when that day comes as well, for sure.
Yeah. I just don't feel like I'm there yet. I'm almost there.
You're getting close.
Yeah. I'm getting a little itchy now that you see, I do have a date in mind. So I do have a goal. It's just, you know, it's one of those things too, where, I mean, we can just bounce this off, but you know, again, you hit a fork in the road and you got to make a decision of where am I going to put my focus? Right. You know, am I going to focus on climbing the ladder of rank or pushing overtime or whatever, or designate those hours and focus and energy into another route? And the other route gives a way higher return in time and financial, you know, advancement. So, you know, it's just one of those things where you get to a point too, where you're probably the same way. Do I go to staff sergeant? You know, do I go to the next level or do I put my focus on this? Because last thing I want to do is being applying to positions or, you know, going in a different unit and they're expecting a certain level of, you know, focus and work, commitment. And I'm not saying I don't, you know, when you're at the workplace, you're 100% focused, but at the same time, you don't want to have anything in the back of your mind. So I've just made that decision to, you know, stay on the road, do what I'm doing, and focus on my goal, and eventually I'll get there.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Awesome. So tons on the go. We haven't really answered this question yet. And I know most people are probably wondering, how do you organize your time? Like, obviously, I'm not going to rhyme off all the things you got going on again.
There's
tons of them. How do you organize and keep track and delegate your time so you can manage all this stuff going on right now? How do you do that? A good calendar, your assistant, or what?
You know what? I wish my fiance was my assistant. She's got her own stuff going on. Actually, I don't know if you know this, but she's going through her real estate license right now. So she's actually got her level 2 test tomorrow or the next day. Anyway, so how do I focus? I live off my calendar, man. I literally need to book and schedule everything. And I also have some VA, some virtual assistants that do some of the minor tasks for me. So I have it all categorized as, you know, my podcast, that's all done with VAs.
Right.
I schedule all my interviews. I try and, you know, chunk them into certain times. So that's taken care of for several months. All my coaching, I have a schedule link that they all use that I designate certain days that they can pick. You know, it's, you know, I have my bookkeeper who's dedicated to all my financial stuff. Excuse me. So it's just scheduling and getting organized. I never feel like I'm 100% organized. Like I feel like I'm always running around a little bit with my head cut off sometimes, but talking to any business owner or people who are growing, they always feel like that. So I feel a little bit more comforted in that, but I don't think there's ever like a perfect, you know, perfect organization. And it's just always trying to improve and be more efficient as you go and grow. But definitely my days are, you know, There's not very many days where I just put the feet back up and
I was going to say,
just chill out.
I doubt that happens unless, you know, you take the weekend or whatnot and you go to the
college. Yeah. Yeah. No.
But yeah, your day to day, it doesn't seem like you're the type of guy to, you know, open a bag of chips and watch TV all day, sort of speak.
Yeah, once in a while. I find I get a little squirrely. Even when I go on vacation, like I love going tropical areas and stuff, but like after a few days, I'm like, my thumbs are starting to twist and I'm like wondering, you know, I'd rather be on some calls and I enjoy it, man. You know, it's like you, it's like, it's a game. It's a big hunger. It's like a sport, you know, you eventually get competitive in it and it's not about the money. It's about winning, you know, it's like getting to the next level and just trying to improve yourself all the time. And along with that comes, reward, I guess.
So. Yeah, for sure. Awesome. So no real huge secret other than you really, really follow a regimented calendar. You have some VAs helping you out. You have your power team helping you out. But overall, there's no real deep, deep, dark secret other than really prioritizing your time and really using your calendar at a high level.
Yeah, I think prioritizing is huge. Eliminating the distractions. I mean, as far as like the calendar stuff and timing, I mean, you got to prioritize and everything's down to a time and a date and a time limit,
right?
You know, and then as far as my team, you know, they're very self-sufficient. I'm very fortunate to have my team. They do all my projects actually. So whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, relying on one company, you know, I'm talking about construction. You know, it's just, it's dedicating and eliminating all the distractions of just staying focused. So I'm not, you know, meeting up with people to have beers just for the hell of it anymore. I pick and choose my time and with who I choose my time with.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So we're getting towards the end here, Dave. Tons of information. I can't pride you enough for the growth you've exhibited in the past 5 years, right from I was probably one of your first calls when you bought your first investment property in Hamilton, and seeing that to where you are today is outstanding. Best three tips you can give to the people out there, whether they're 911 community or not, who want to start investing in real estate, but have doubts and are scared and are nervous and on and on and on. What are the best three tips you can think of to tell this person to get started and how to do that? What are the three best tips?
I think first you have to make a commitment to yourself and say like why you want to do it. Like what is your purpose? Because like at the beginning I was saying, you first start and you don't know why you're doing it. You're just doing it. Now that's not a way to really succeed. You know, you have to have a reason and a purpose behind it. So why are you investing? So I think, you know, the first one would definitely mentally commit with a purpose. And then once you find that purpose, figure out a route and educate yourself within that area. So first commit, and then two, educate yourself, get a mentor, get some education, whether it be online training, like pay for help, like fast track that learning curve. That is a huge thing for me. If I want to get from A to B, I pay someone to help me get from A to B. I'm not trying to get from A to Z. I just want to get one step at a time. And eventually over time, that'll be growth. So that's two. And then three, you just got to actually do it. You got to go out and just apply what it is you're learning. I mean, you know, you can learn all day and listen to all the podcasts and the YouTube channels and blah, blah, blah. But if you're not doing anything with it, it's just entertainment. You know, you're just wasting time and feeling good because you're getting all this info. You know, right. So I think those are two things: mentally commit, educate yourself, get a mentor, and then just continually take action and steps.
Couldn't agree more. You could sit on the fence all day, but sooner or later, you got to get to that other side and take that first step. And like Dave said, I mean, at the end of the day, if you have a professional like Dave, for example, or myself in your corner to help you, It does, and like Dave said, pay, you know, if you have to pay for the help, it really, really can expedite where you want to go. So great advice, Dave. I think we'll conclude by, we have a lightning round here with three questions that we're going to ask every guest at the end of it. First question, Dave, what is your why? What is your why and what do you want to do with it?
Well, my why is freedom, financial freedom, being in control of your life, not having to rely on anyone, anything like that. And then constantly improving that. That's my why. And I would definitely say that's the driving factor behind a lot of things too. So
for sure. Question number two, when you picture more to life, when you picture more to life with Dave Knight, what do you see? What's more to life for Dave?
Again, I'm going back. It sounds selfish, but it's just creating more for yourself and getting over the hump that wanting more is okay. I think maybe this isn't lightning round, but I'm dragging this on. But basically, I feel like we're always taught, especially in our community, Adrian, you'd realize this, that, you know, pulling in a nice car, you know, talking about nice things, going on an expensive trip, it's almost looked down upon. Like you almost get like shamed for it.
Yeah.
And realizing, getting over that hurdle that it's okay to want those things. I'm not saying it's all financial, but it's like the wanting financial freedom. It's okay to want that. Go out and get it. You know, it doesn't have to take a 30-year career and a pension and a limited budget to live on. Now, if you like that, that's perfectly fine. But if you want more, it's okay. So I think more to life is just going and getting it. It's going and trying to grab it and achieve it. So more to life than just punching in, punching out, shift work, and a pension. And then more to life is helping other people learn about it too.
Awesome. Yeah. I can't, you almost echoed my episode number one when I asked myself the same question for myself. But and last question, Dave, if you could give one piece of advice to the people listening to this episode, one piece of advice, what would that be?
Just get started, get in the game, and take investing seriously. I think if you approach it as a business versus just like a dabble, I want to invest on the side kind of thing. I'm not saying you got to quit your job, but just focus on it with intention. And I think you'll go a lot further than just kind of fluffing it off on the side.
Get in the game and focus.
Yeah, focus, 100%. Yeah, because really, real estate and all the numbers and learning, it's going to evolve into everything else. Like all other areas of investing and money and economics and, you know, all that stuff. It's just, it's all interconnected. So if you start learning and diving deep, the whole world changes for you, I find.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Dave, it's been amazing talking to you. I was looking forward to the episode and I knew we would get into some really good stuff and some good advice for everybody. But for everybody listening, I can't stress enough. Here's a prime example of somebody that started with nothing, didn't even have furniture in the house. And here's a guy now that, you know, here's a guy now that has five flips on the go, invests, you know, in the United States, does coaching, full-time police officer, boot camps, yada, yada, like incredible. And really, really has done so much in the course of 5 years. So check out Dave Knight. He's all over social media. Check out 911wealthnetwork.com. He'll help you start your journey, obviously offering coaching and boot camps and stuff like that. But whether you're in the 911 community or not, I'm sure Dave would definitely take time to talk to you and see how maybe he can help you. Any last closing remarks, Dave?
No, if anyone wants to connect with me on, you know, just go to 911wealthnetwork.com or, you know, social media, Instagram, Dave Knighter, just ER at the end of my name. And and Adrian, thanks for having me on. You know, you were an inspiration for me too at the beginning when I first started this, you know, journey in the last few years, because I saw where you were and where you'd come and just seeing you evolve and doing what your thing. So, you know, right back at you, man.
Yeah, thanks. And you know, I think when we first met, I was still on the job, obviously, because it was about 5 years ago or so. And I was still on the job, pretty much where you are now. You know, I had a lot on the go and I was getting close to maybe making that decision and whatnot, but things were going well for us. So I can totally relate. And really, one of the major reasons why I wanted you on the show was really to tell your story and show your growth and it's almost a carbon copy of mine, so to speak. And I can do it. Dave Knight can do it. That means whoever's watching this, you can do it too.
Trust me, if Dave Knight can do it, you can do it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you and me both. But yeah, all right, Dave. Well, thanks again for so much your time and your expertise and your knowledge. And yeah, everybody out there, if you want to connect with Dave, by all means, he's waiting for your reach out. So have a great one, Dave. Awesome talking to you, and we'll chat soon.
Take care, man. Thank you. Cheers.